The 16th Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle appointed for this Sunday is that of the Ephesians, St. Paul. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. Please let us stand for the Holy Gospel, which is that of the Apostle St. Luke. At that time when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "It is lawful to cure on the Sabbath." But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath?" And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than thou have been invited by him, and he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man,' and then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place. But when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at the table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please be seated. Everyone that exalted himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Words from St. Luke, chapter 14, St. Luke, today's Gospel. If I were to ask you if you are familiar with the lives of the saints, especially many children here are homeschoolers, you probably will raise up your hands and say, "I have many books about the lives of the saints, and I can tell you about many stories about the deeds that they did, the accomplishments that they have. There are many saints who everybody knows because they can see the main virtues." I'm sure many of you can talk to me about St. Francis of Assisi. For obvious reasons, everybody talks about St. Francis. Now, his love for the poor and the austere life. St. Elizabeth of Hungary, she was a queen who founded orphanages and hospitals, assisted the homeless with many works of charity and almsgiving. However, I mentioned these virtues of different saints, but there were many saints who never gave alms to the poor. Why? Because their poverty justified them. Some who did not fast or mortify their bodies, since their bodily infirmities excused them from that. Think about Padre Pio. Others who were not virgins because their vocation was otherwise. We learn about the saints who were martyrs. St. Peter and St. Paul endured all sorts of cruel torments for the kingdom of God.
Others were not martyrs and died peacefully.
So we have all these many examples of different saints, different lives, different virtues. However, there is something that is common to them all. In paradise, there is no saint who was not humble. The virtue of humility is common and is in every single saint. God banished from heaven the bad angels because of their pride. Can we hope to enter into heaven if we do not keep ourselves in the virtue of humility? To learn to follow our Lord Jesus is to learn about his humility of heart. St. Matthew chapter 11, our Lord usually is depicted with the Sacred Heart, just as this statue here, and you always can read the words at the bottom. Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart. We need to learn. Learn from the heart of Jesus, who is true humility. Learn of me, he says. We need to be humble in imitation of him, the one who invites us to take the last place in the wedding, if we want to enter into his kingdom. We need to open the door to the wedding feast by humbling ourselves. St. Ambrose, Father of the Church, points out, but above all, it is to the constant attitude and exercise of humility that we must especially direct his attention, who will secure a prominent place in the divine feast of the nuptials. The first place, then, is not to be sought in the first seats of an earthly wedding. Rather, the virtue of humility should be in the first place. St. Thomas Aquinas says, humility holds the first place, inasmuch as it expels pride, which God resists. Hence, St. Gregory asserts that he who gathers virtues without humility is like the man who carries dust against the wind. His virtues shall be scattered. What can we learn then in order to grow in humility and to advance in prayer life? If sometimes we feel that we do not make progress in prayer, that we go through the motions, then a good help would be to follow the teachings of Saint Teresa of Avila, who wrote that our growth in prayer is in proportion to our humility. Do you want to become holy? Do you want to advance in the spiritual life? Then you need, according to Saint Teresa of Avila, to have humility, detachment, and love of neighbor. These three elements are essential. This Carmelite saint said, the entire foundation of prayer must be established in humility. She said that in her autobiography. So humility includes then detachment and love of neighbor. How can then we define humility, and how can we exercise this particular virtue? Humility, according to Saint Teresa of Avila, is truth. To be humble is to walk in the truth. And what truth, we can say? The truth about ourselves. The truth about myself. That is to be humble. A humble person is that one who knows himself and acts accordingly. In other words, knowing your place and taking your place. Therefore, to practice this virtue includes detachment and love of neighbor for the sake of God. That means that our relationship with God and our place before him first, and secondly with our neighbor. If humility then is truth, then recognizing our talents and gifts that God has given to each one of us is also a way in which to practice humility, by putting those talents into practice to the service of God and the neighbor, knowing your place and taking your place. A king, a general, a president, someone in authority should behave and act fulfilling his duty. On the other hand, a gifted saint such as St. Thomas Aquinas, who wrote on the science of theology, he wrote the Summa Theologica, a precious work of theology, and he is held as the patron saint of theological studies, It could have been an act of false humility on his part for him, for example, to say that he would not have wanted to publish his works, since no one would have ever then benefited from them. Consequently, in order to exercise this virtue, we can then examine our conscience in three aspects. Ask ourselves three different things. And I'm going to use briefly, I'm going to mention these three things. Humility before God, humility with our neighbor, and humility with oneself. These three aspects. There is a book, a little treasure of the spiritual life. The book is entitled Humility of Heart by Father Cajetan Bergamo. So this is a, they say is the biggest treatise written on the virtue of humility ever. Humility of Heart. Beautiful book. He gives an examination on the virtue of humility in three aspects then. In regards to God, regards to the neighbor, regards to ourselves. Humility before God. St. Ignatius Loyola explains that man is created to love, adore, serve, reverence God our Lord in this life, and by this means to save his soul. Principle and foundation of all spirituality by St. Ignatius Loyola. Why am I here? Why have I been created? Therefore, the first act of humility is to recognize that we are entirely subject to him, and that we are nothing before God, and all the being we have it from God, from him. First acknowledgement. To reverence God properly in the Blessed Sacrament, by making a good genuflection, to behave in church properly, is to recognize our conditions of creatures that have been created by God. We need to pray like the publican and not by the Pharisee, by placing ourselves in the presence of God in adoration before prayer. First thing we do when we pray, we acknowledge that we are before the presence of God. The prayers at the beginning of Holy Mass, the prayers that we do at the foot of the altar, and are then an example of the practice of humility before God, because they include the act of contrition. Through my fault, through my own grievous fault, before ascending into the altar. That's an act of contrition, that's an act of humility. And then we pray to the merciful Lord at Mass, saying, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. We can also make acts of humility before God by praying Psalm 50 before confession. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy great mercy. Psalm 50. There is another consideration that St. Thomas Aquinas says that in order to grow in humility before God, could be a good exercise to think that all evil that is in man and is done by man comes from man alone, and that all the good that is in man and is done by man comes from God. How far then we find ourselves away from these thoughts? Humility with our neighbor. This is a difficult one. In regard to the neighbor, it consists in recognizing and holding ourselves in our own inmost soul to be inferior to all. And that is why the Lord advises us in his gospel to take always the lowest place. He does not tell us to sit down in a place in the middle, nor in one of the last, but in the last place. That is, ought we to have such an opinion of ourselves that we must esteem ourselves inferior to all. This is not a depressing thought or trying to cause a low self-esteem on us or something that should lead us to false humility. However, this is for the purpose of examining ourselves. How are we lacking in humility, to see if we are walking in the truth about ourselves or having a disfigured image caused by pride? St. Paul teaches that a way to start is not to consider the good that we have in ourselves, but that which others have or may have. St. Paul to the Philippians, each one not considering the things that are his own, but those that are others. Those that are others, man. Another way is also to consider some particular good quality that a person may have and which we have not. In order to know to what extent we're lacking in humility,
examine you from this point of view. The humility of heart taught by Jesus makes us as little children and enables us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. However, we are far from such humility. If you happen to hear that others have spoken uncharitably of you, taking offense easily, considering yourself injured by every adverse word that you receive from others, you can think about that. A sign of humility is to imitate the attitude of Christ that he had during his passion. What did he do when he was falsely accused? What did he do when, in the opinion of the world, he was rejected by everybody? He did not demand apologies, nourishing aversion or rancor. Think about the most important sign of martyrdom. Not the fortitude to endure the afflictions, but rather forgiveness towards the enemies. Forgive them, Father, because they do not know what they are doing. One of the last words of our Lord in the cross. Consequently, a humble man, such as Christ, what he did during his passion, what did he do? He was not only angry with those who offended him, but he would love them and give them back good for evil. Finally, examine this. What is a sign of true humility and maturity? It's the capacity to apologize for one's mistakes and to forgive. How do you usually say to a family member, how we usually have this capacity to say, I'm sorry, I really mean it? That's a sign also of humility and maturity. Humility with oneself, finally. Saint Benedict wrote the famous rule for his monks. He was a founder of Western monasticism, and in his rule, he wrote about 12 degrees of humility. So we will go one by one. No, we're going to only one. It's too hot. So we'll see one. The second degree of humility in one of his chapters. When a man loves not his own will, nor is pleased to fulfill his own desires, but by his deeds carries out that word of the Lord which said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Here we come again to the definition of humility: to know what is true and to act accordingly. The master of spirituality warns us about attachments to our own opinions, to think only about our own ways without listening to others. We sometimes do not even listen to the ones whom we most love. Are we attached always to our own ways, to our own opinions about everything, without listening to anybody else? And most importantly, to the voice of God in prayer. What is the Lord? What is in his plans for me? If I follow him, I'm going to be happy. Not if I follow my own will all the time. What is the will of God? Attachment to our own opinions. As we meditated before, then there is no room for pride in heaven. Do we really then believe that humility of heart, as taught by our Lord in the Gospel, is necessary for eternal salvation? We should learn from his heart and from the lives of the saints, since among their many virtues, since among their many actions, they had one in common, that one of humility. As we read from the book of Tobias, who wrote to his son, never suffer pride to reign. Never suffer pride to reign in thy mind or in thy words. For from it all perdition took its beginning. And we'll finish with the words of Christ. Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.